Senatsverwaltung für Bildung, Jugend und Familie im Land Berlin. Prüfung zum Erwerb der erweiterten Berufsbildungsreife und des mittleren Schulabschlusses im Fach Englisch 2018. Welcome to your listening test. This test has got 4 parts. Please take your worksheets now. Listening Part 1. Short messages. You are going to hear 2 short messages. You will hear the recording twice. There are 4 questions in this part. 2 questions for each message. Look at the pictures and then listen to the recording. Choose the correct picture and put a tick in the right box. You now have time to read the questions and look at the pictures. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the task. Message 1.
As usual, Rihanna puts the whole world to shame when it comes to dressing, even when the singer is getting her teeth seen to. Who dresses this well for a visit to a doctor? Oh yes, Rihanna. She was seen out in the Big Apple. You know, even Rihanna's dentist works in a cool place like Manhattan. She was wearing brown leather trousers with an oversized furry jacket, a black baseball cap and a baggy t-shirt, but still managed to look awesome and turn heads. And she's got a lovely set of pearly white teeth to match. Riri has been loving her baggy t-shirts of late, and this time she wore one with a picture of the late Princess Diana and the title Princess of Wales. The royal's birth and death years, 1961 to 1997, were printed on the front as well. We imagine everyone will now be Googling where to buy it. She matched her top with thigh-high jean boots, which, we'd like to point out, are worth more than £2,000. No one can say that Rihanna doesn't put the effort in when it comes to looking cool.
Message 2.
Hello, Kyle, it's Abe, calling about the vintage Philco radio you bought online for me last weekend. You're really lucky to have found such a unique item, my old Betty. It really must be handled with care, so I can understand that you don't want me to mail it to you. About the pickup on Saturday, you wrote that you don't own a car. That's okay, because there's a bus 73 from Atlanta, that gets into the bus station here in Mason just before noon on Saturdays. Directly across the street there is a police station, Cobb County Police Station. I'll park in front of it. Let's meet there. You can never be too safe these days, you know. I'll be coming from the hairdresser's, and I'll be wearing boots and a long light brown jacket. But you'll probably recognize me most by my dark hair and full beard. I don't wear glasses, don't have a tattoo or earring or anything like that. Man, I'm sure am glad that my old Betty is going to be in good hands. Listen, I gotta go now, but you can call me if anything comes up. See you on Saturday, then.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time. Message 1.
As usual, Rihanna puts the whole world to shame when it comes to dressing, even when the singer is getting her teeth seen to. Who dresses this well for a visit to a doctor? Oh yes, Rihanna. She was seen out in the Big Apple. You know, even Rihanna's dentist works in a cool place like Manhattan. She was wearing brown leather trousers with an oversized furry jacket, a black baseball cap and a baggy t-shirt, but still managed to look awesome and turn heads. And she's got a lovely set of pearly white teeth to match. Riri has been loving her baggy t-shirts of late, and this time she wore one with a picture of the late Princess Diana and the title Princess of Wales. The royal's birth and death years, 1961 to 1997, were printed on the front as well. We imagine everyone will now be Googling where to buy it. She matched her top with thigh-high jean boots, which, we'd like to point out, are worth more than £2,000. No one can say that Rihanna doesn't put the effort in when it comes to looking cool.
Message 2.
Hello, Kyle, it's Abe, calling about the vintage Philco radio you bought online for me last weekend. You're really lucky to have found such a unique item, my old Betty. It really must be handled with care, so I can understand that you don't want me to mail it to you. About the pickup on Saturday, you wrote that you don't own a car. That's okay, because there's a bus 73 from Atlanta, that gets into the bus station here in Mason just before noon on Saturdays. Directly across the street there is a police station, Cobb County Police Station. I'll park in front of it. Let's meet there. You can never be too safe these days, you know. I'll be coming from the hairdresser's, and I'll be wearing boots and a long light brown jacket. But you'll probably recognize me most by my dark hair and full beard. I don't wear glasses, don't have a tattoo or earring or anything like that. Man, I'm sure am glad that my old Betty is going to be in good hands. Listen, I gotta go now, but you can call me if anything comes up. See you on Saturday, then.
This is the end of Listening Part 1. Listening Part 2. Radio ads. Please note, you do not need to understand every word to do this task. You are going to hear 4 radio ads. You will hear the recording twice. Read the slogans below first, then listen to the recording. For each ad, choose the correct slogan from the list, A to F, and put a tick in the right box. There is only one correct slogan for each ad. 2 slogans can't be matched. You now have time to read the slogans. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the task.
Millions of people all over the world go hungry while we waste our land and water resources. Did you know that raising animals for human consumption uses 8 times as much water as growing fruits, vegetables, and grains? And that the same amount of land can produce 17 times more soybean protein than meat protein? For great vegetarian recipes, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. That's PETA, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510. Thanks.
If you drive with a cell phone in one hand, expect a ticket in the other. That's right. Get caught talking, texting, or surfing the web while driving in Illinois, you now face a fine of $75 or more. And any crash involving use of a handheld electronic device can send a driver to prison. The Illinois Tollway, Secretary of State, IDOT, State Police, and AAA remind you, drop it and drive. Using a handheld cell phone while driving is now illegal in Illinois. Learn more at dropitanddriveillinois.com.
With video games, I'm often choosing between what my kids want and what I think is best for them.
Hey, Mom, how about this one?
Rated T for teen with violence and suggestive themes. Let me check the rating summary. Frenetic combat, cries of pain, female warlords expose cleavage.
Maybe the other one's better.
The rating summaries are free. Use them and you'll be armed with the world's most powerful weapon, knowledge.
For more information, go to ESRB.org.
So you've got one of those fake IDs, and you're planning on going to the bars this weekend with your friends. Know the facts first. In Illinois, if you get caught with a fake, your actual driver's license will be suspended for 1 year. It can also mean up to 3 years in prison and a $25,000 fine. In fact, in the last 2 years, more than 1,200 people have had their driver's licenses suspended for using or making fakes. And if you're thinking about going to the same overseas company your buddy found on the internet to get a good-looking ID, don't. By providing your information to these questionable businesses, you may become a victim of identity theft. The consequences of using fakes are real, and the penalties are severe. It's not worth the risk. Because it's not just about losing a fake ID, it's about losing your identity and your actual driver's license.
This message is brought to you by the Office of the Illinois Secretary of State.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time.
Millions of people all over the world go hungry, while we waste our land and water resources. Did you know that raising animals for human consumption uses 8 times as much water as growing fruits, vegetables, and grains? And that the same amount of land can produce 17 times more soybean protein than meat protein? For great vegetarian recipes, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. That's PETA, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510. Thanks.
If you drive with a cell phone in one hand, expect a ticket in the other. That's right. Get caught talking, texting, or surfing the web while driving in Illinois, you now face a fine of $75 or more. And any crash involving use of a handheld electronic device can send a driver to prison. The Illinois Tollway, Secretary of State, IDOT, State Police, and AAA remind you, drop it and drive. Using a handheld cell phone while driving is now illegal in Illinois. Learn more at dropitanddriveillinois.com.
With video games, I'm often choosing between what my kids want and what I think is best for them.
Hey, Mom, how about this one?
Rated T for teen with violence and suggestive themes. Let me check the rating summary. Frenetic combat, cries of pain, female warlords expose cleavage.
Maybe the other one's better.
The rating summaries are free. Use them, and you'll be armed with the world's most powerful weapon, knowledge.
For more information, go to ESRB.org.
So you've got one of those fake IDs, and you're planning on going to the bars this weekend with your friends. Know the facts first. In Illinois, if you get caught with a fake, your actual driver's license will be suspended for 1 year. It can also mean up to 3 years in prison and a $25,000 fine. In fact, in the last 2 years, more than 1,200 people have had their driver's licenses suspended for using or making fakes. And if you're thinking about going to the same overseas company your buddy found on the internet to get a good-looking ID, don't. By providing your information to these questionable businesses, you may become a victim of identity theft. The consequences of using fakes are real, and the penalties are severe. It's not worth the risk. Because it's not just about losing a fake ID, it's about losing your identity and your actual driver's license.
This message is brought to you by the Office of the Illinois Secretary of State.
This is the end of Listening Part 2. Listening Part 3. Comic Heroes. You are going to hear three people talking about comic heroes. You will hear the recording twice. Complete the table below. Use 1 to 5 words or numbers for each answer. You now have time to look at the table. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the task.
My favorite comic hero, hands down, it's Mr. Fantastic. He's been around forever, since the early 60s, and he's one of the most intelligent comic figures around. In his mid-20s, he invents a spacecraft which takes him and three friends into space, where they are bombarded by cosmic radiation. When the crew returns to Earth, they find their bodies have changed dramatically. Mr. Fantastic is able to stretch his body into any shape he wants. For example, to flatten himself into a parachute or to form his hands into hammers. One of the many unusual characters he encounters is Dr. Doom, once a fellow student of Mr. Fantastic's and later his archenemy. Dr. Doom swears revenge when he is wounded in an accident that leaves a scar on his face. For this accident, he blames Mr. Fantastic. What makes Mr. Fantastic so likable is that not only is he the leader of a team of superheroes, but he is also a family man. He's married to another member of the team, and he is the father of a highly intelligent daughter and a son with superpowers himself. Sometimes, though, he is so obsessed with science and can get so focused on a challenge that he forgets about his own family.
In my opinion, the greatest comic book hero is a heroine, and her name is Storm. In fact, she is the first black female superhero in the world of comics. Aurora Storm Monroe is the daughter of an African tribal princess from Kenya, but grows up in New York and Cairo. She's a member of a fictional subspecies of humanity known as mutants, who are born with superpowers. Storm can fly on gales of wind, and she has the ability to control the weather. She can even cast lightning from her fingertips. So cool. Now, there are downsides to having the ability to manipulate the weather, too. Storm's powers over the weather are affected by her emotions. So if she can't control her emotions, a fit of rage could bring about a destructive storm. Could be very bad news for those around her. Also, Storm suffers from panic attacks in enclosed spaces. Storm has seen more than her share of hardship and trauma throughout her life, and yet she's got natural leadership skills. I really admire her. Her aim is to protect her people and the Earth, and she does an awesome job.
Sure, there's Superman, Spider-Man, and all those other hotshots, but no one beats Hawkeye. Hawkeye's real name is Clint Barton. He grows up an orphan and runs away to join the circus, where he trains to become a star attraction as a master archer. As a result of years of dedicated training, first by criminals and later by superheroes, he is an exceptional fencer, a talented acrobat, an expert tactician, and martial artist. And yet, Hawkeye has no superhuman powers. Being human means making mistakes. His problem is that he doesn't learn from his mistakes. He's had his fair share of messy romantic relationships, Black Widow, Scarlet Lady. He's unlucky in love, always falling for the wrong women. Hawkeye has plenty of evil villains and enemies to fight, the greatest of which is Crossfire, a former CIA agent. Hawkeye ruins Crossfire's plan for world domination, and ever since, Crossfire has held a huge grudge against Hawkeye. Crossfire even puts a price on Hawkeye to have his arm cut off. Without his arm, Hawkeye wouldn't be able to exercise his outstanding skills. So, what do I like so much about Hawkeye? Well, he's a bad guy turned good, and now uses his strength to do good. Isn't that great?
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time.
My favorite comic hero, hands down, it's Mr. Fantastic. He's been around forever, since the early 60s, and he's one of the most intelligent comic figures around. In his mid-20s, he invents a spacecraft which takes him and three friends into space, where they are bombarded by cosmic radiation. When the crew returns to Earth, they find their bodies have changed dramatically. Mr. Fantastic is able to stretch his body into any shape he wants. For example, to flatten himself into a parachute or to form his hands into hammers. One of the many unusual characters he encounters is Dr. Doom, once a fellow student of Mr. Fantastic's and later his archenemy. Dr. Doom swears revenge when he is wounded in an accident that leaves a scar on his face. For this accident, he blames Mr. Fantastic. What makes Mr. Fantastic so likable is that not only is he the leader of a team of superheroes, but he is also a family man. He's married to another member of the team, and he is the father of a highly intelligent daughter and a son with superpowers himself. Sometimes, though, he is so obsessed with science and can get so focused on a challenge that he forgets about his own family.
In my opinion, the greatest comic book hero is a heroine, and her name is Storm. In fact, she is the first black female superhero in the world of comics. Aurora Storm Monroe is the daughter of an African tribal princess from Kenya, but grows up in New York and Cairo. She's a member of a fictional subspecies of humanity known as mutants, who are born with superpowers. Storm can fly on gales of wind, and she has the ability to control the weather. She can even cast lightning from her fingertips. So cool. Now, there are downsides to having the ability to manipulate the weather too. Storm's powers over the weather are affected by her emotions. So if she can't control her emotions, a fit of rage could bring about a destructive storm. Could be very bad news for those around her. Also, Storm suffers from panic attacks in enclosed spaces. Storm has seen more than her share of hardship and trauma throughout her life, and yet she's got natural leadership skills. I really admire her. Her aim is to protect her people and the Earth, and she does an awesome job.
Sure, there's Superman, Spider-Man, and all those other hotshots, but no one beats Hawkeye. Hawkeye's real name is Clint Barton. He grows up an orphan and runs away to join the circus, where he trains to become a star attraction as a master archer. As a result of years of dedicated training, first by criminals and later by superheroes, he is an exceptional fencer, a talented acrobat, an expert tactician, and martial artist. And yet, Hawkeye has no superhuman powers. Being human means making mistakes. His problem is that he doesn't learn from his mistakes. He's had his fair share of messy romantic relationships, Black Widow, Scarlet Lady. He's unlucky in love, always falling for the wrong women. Hawkeye has plenty of evil villains and enemies to fight, the greatest of which is Crossfire, a former CIA agent. Hawkeye ruins Crossfire's plan for world domination, and ever since, Crossfire has held a huge grudge against Hawkeye. Crossfire even puts a price on Hawkeye to have his arm cut off. Without his arm, Hawkeye wouldn't be able to exercise his outstanding skills. So, what do I like so much about Hawkeye? Well, he's a bad guy turned good, and now uses his strength to do good. Isn't that great?
This is the end of Listening, Part 3. Listening Part 4. Robots and Us. You are going to hear a radio call-in show. There are four speakers. Hannah Ferguson, the host, Rashid Khan, an expert, and two callers. You will hear the recording twice. Read the statements below first, then listen to the recording. Put a tick in the box next to the correct statement. Only one statement is correct in each case. You now have time to read the statements. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the task.
Good evening. I am Hannah Ferguson, and I'd like to welcome you to our weekly edition of Tech Talk. As usual, I have a special guest here with me in the studio. Let's welcome Professor Rashid Khan from the University of California, Berkeley, who is doing research on human-robot interaction. Good evening, Rashid.
Good evening, everybody. Thanks for inviting me.
Before we open our telephone lines to our listeners, let me describe something I saw on YouTube the other day. A really heartbreaking scene. An elderly Japanese couple are concerned about their pet dogs, I, 15 years old, and Doggy, 13, who because of their advanced age have severe health problems. One can't walk well anymore, and the other has a stiff neck, to name but a few of their problems. Their owners, Tomoko and Sadao, are desperate and in tears because they have to watch their dogs slowly fading away. They can find no remedy for their dog's ailments. You may be wondering what this has to do with Tech Talk, but I can see Rashid smiling. Rashid, you seem to know about Tomoko and Sadao's problem.
Yes, they're not looking for medical help, but rather mechanical help. Spare parts. The case is well known. I and Doggy, they are Aibos, robot dogs produced in Japan between 1999 and 2006. By the way, Aibo stands for Artificial Intelligence Robot and is a Japanese word for partner.
And partners they are. The owners are extremely attached to their robot dogs. So it seems that even a robot dog is a man's best friend.
Well, there was a lot of hype around them when they were first launched onto the market. Robots for private people were not very common back then. They were supposed to be the future of pets. No digestion, no walking the dog in the rain, and yet company and companionship. But they are not very sophisticated, not state-of-the-art anymore.
Yes, they don't actually look real at all. They are shaped like dogs, but look like robots. Lots of metal. Definitely machines. Just funny gadgets, I thought.
That's why the manufacturer has stopped maintaining them. So I and Doggy cannot be repaired anymore. Replacement parts are extremely hard to find. They are, in a way, dying. Something their owners could never have imagined. And they are truly sad and heartbroken after having lived with their robot pets for such a long time.
Ah, and I see we have our first caller on the line. Hello?
Hi, my name is Jeremy, and I remember Aibos and Tamagotchis and all that stuff very well. But isn't it a little weird when you react like the Japanese couple towards something obviously inanimate like a stupid Aibo?
No, Sadao and Tomoko are not weird at all. They are no exception to the...
Sorry for interrupting you, Rashid, but there is another caller on the line. Let's hear what Samira has to say.
Hi there. I'd like to support what Rashid just said. You see, I work in a nursing home for people suffering from dementia. There, we use cuddly toy seals to brighten up the patients' lives, and it works. The seals have big brown eyes and white fake fur. All they do is make some sounds, wag their tails, and blink at you when you stroke them. You should see how our patients' faces beam. They smile, seem to be happier. They don't mind stroking a fake animal which shows some kind of artificial reaction. In fact, they enjoy it. It works. It's amazing.
Yes, I know several projects like this. Although we know that an object is not a living being, there are two aspects that sort of trick us into reacting emotionally. Firstly, this thing somehow resembles a living being with a face, and the eyes are especially important. Secondly, this thing reacts to us. We humans are communicative beings. We naturally like reaction.
And isn't this something quite natural? We all have emotional interactions with technology in our lives. Just yesterday, when my computer crashed, you should have heard me shouting.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
Well, we are increasingly exposed to robots in our daily lives. In the future, we'll be short of carers in hospitals and old people's homes, for example. We will need more robots, and as a consequence, there'll be more human-robot interaction. But little is known about how these lifelike machines affect our emotions, and this is precisely what I am looking at in my research.
Well, while preparing for this show, I realized that there is a lot of material which deals with how we can program robots to have feelings, but there isn't much material on how we feel towards robots.
Well, there is scientific research. For one study, scientists tried to measure how people responded to robots on an emotional and neurological level. Volunteers were shown videos of a small dinosaur robot being treated either affectionately or violently. In the affectionate video, people hugged and tickled the robot, and in the violent video, they hit or dropped it. The viewers' reactions were measured, and the experiment showed that people's emotions were almost the same as if they had seen the same being done to a human, that the brain reacts in much the same way whether a person witnesses love for, or violence against, a robot or a human.
And the robot was only a toy. How strong will our feelings become when there are even more human-like robots living with us in our homes?
Do you mean we could even fall in love with them? Why not? Always beautiful, always kind, easy to fall in love with.
What a discomforting thought. And there are definitely other people out there who think that such a strong bond between a robot and a human is unhealthy. The question is whether we should take action to avoid this. We'll take a closer look after the break.
1, 2, 3, 4. Do it, your test. Say that's best, yes. Seven, that's not, yeah. Do it, you in.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time.
Good evening. I am Hannah Ferguson, and I'd like to welcome you to our weekly edition of Tech Talk. As usual, I have a special guest here with me in the studio. Let's welcome Professor Rashid Khan from the University of California, Berkeley, who is doing research on human-robot interaction. Good evening, Rashid.
Good evening, everybody. Thanks for inviting me.
Before we open our telephone lines to our listeners, let me describe something I saw on YouTube the other day. A really heartbreaking scene. An elderly Japanese couple are concerned about their pet dogs, I, 15 years old, and Doggy, 13, who because of their advanced age have severe health problems. One can't walk well anymore, and the other has a stiff neck, to name but a few of their problems. Their owners, Tomoko and Sadao, are desperate and in tears because they have to watch their dogs slowly fading away. They can find no remedy for their dog's ailments. You may be wondering what this has to do with Tech Talk, but I can see Rashid smiling. Rashid, you seem to know about Tomoko and Sadao's problem.
Yes, they're not looking for medical help, but rather mechanical help. Spare parts. The case is well known. I and Doggy, they are Aibos, robot dogs produced in Japan between 1999 and 2006. By the way, Aibo stands for Artificial Intelligence Robot and is a Japanese word for partner.
And partners they are. The owners are extremely attached to their robot dogs. So it seems that even a robot dog is a man's best friend.
Well, there was a lot of hype around them when they were first launched onto the market. Robots for private people were not very common back then. They were supposed to be the future of pets. No digestion, no walking the dog in the rain, and yet company and companionship. But they are not very sophisticated, not state-of-the-art anymore.
Yes, they don't actually look real at all. They are shaped like dogs, but look like robots. Lots of metal. Definitely machines. Just funny gadgets, I thought.
That's why the manufacturer has stopped maintaining them. So I and Doggy cannot be repaired anymore. Replacement parts are extremely hard to find. They are, in a way, dying. Something their owners could never have imagined. And they are truly sad and heartbroken after having lived with their robot pets for such a long time.
Ah, and I see we have our first caller on the line. Hello?
Hi, my name is Jeremy, and I remember Aibos and Tamagotchis and all that stuff very well. But isn't it a little weird when you react like the Japanese couple towards something obviously inanimate like a stupid Aibo?
No, Sadao and Tomoko are not weird at all. They are no exception to the...
Sorry for interrupting you, Rashid, but there is another caller on the line. Let's hear what Samira has to say.
Hi there. I'd like to support what Rashid just said. You see, I work in a nursing home for people suffering from dementia. There, we use cuddly toy seals to brighten up the patients' lives, and it works. The seals have big brown eyes and white fake fur. All they do is make some sounds, wag their tails, and blink at you when you stroke them. You should see how our patients' faces beam. They smile, seem to be happier. They don't mind stroking a fake animal which shows some kind of artificial reaction. In fact, they enjoy it. It works. It's amazing.
Yes, I know several projects like this. Although we know that an object is not a living being, there are two aspects that sort of trick us into reacting emotionally. Firstly, this thing somehow resembles a living being with a face, and the eyes are especially important. Secondly, this thing reacts to us. We humans are communicative beings. We naturally like reaction.
And isn't this something quite natural? We all have emotional interactions with technology in our lives. Just yesterday, when my computer crashed, you should have heard me shouting.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
Well, we are increasingly exposed to robots in our daily lives. In the future, we'll be short of carers in hospitals and old people's homes, for example. We will need more robots, and as a consequence, there'll be more human-robot interaction. But little is known about how these lifelike machines affect our emotions, and this is precisely what I am looking at in my research.
Well, while preparing for this show, I realized that there is a lot of material which deals with how we can program robots to have feelings, but there isn't much material on how we feel towards robots.
Well, there is scientific research. For one study, scientists tried to measure how people responded to robots on an emotional and neurological level. Volunteers were shown videos of a small dinosaur robot being treated either affectionately or violently. In the affectionate video, people hugged and tickled the robot, and in the violent video, they hit or dropped it. The viewers' reactions were measured, and the experiment showed that people's emotions were almost the same as if they had seen the same being done to a human, that the brain reacts in much the same way whether a person witnesses love for, or violence against, a robot or a human.
And the robot was only a toy. How strong will our feelings become when there are even more human-like robots living with us in our homes?
Do you mean we could even fall in love with them? Why not? Always beautiful, always kind. Easy to fall in love with.
What a discomforting thought. And there are definitely other people out there who think that such a strong bond between a robot and a human is unhealthy. The question is whether we should take action to avoid this. We'll take a closer look after the break.
1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you.
This is the end of Listening Part 4. Now you have time to copy all your answers onto the final answer sheet. Be careful, please. Don't make any mistakes when you copy your answers. Now hand in all the papers to the teacher, please. This is the end of your listening test.